Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Christina, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me here.
I'm excited to get started talking, but first I want to know, how did you find Organize 365?
Oh, yeah. I was in desperate need of help for my home office and for my paper. And I kept looking for paper possibilities, how to organize my paper, and nothing really worked. And then in a Facebook group about decluttering, someone shared a picture about their home office desk with piles of paper on it and asked for help. And everyone was answering Sunday basket, Sunday basket. I was wondering, what is the Sunday basket? So I went and found the YouTube videos and the website, and I kind of found my paper solution, or my solution to my paper clutter there.
All right, well, we're going to dive into that. But before we do, first of all, I'm recording in America. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't sound like you are in America. So can you share where you're recording from and who lives in your household with you?
Okay, so I'm recording from Germany, and I have a bit of a weird British accent. So to all the Brits listening in, apologies. I'm not trying to have a kind of a weird British accent going on. So my husband is living, and two little daughters. One is 3, almost 4 years old, and one is 1 year old. So tiny little kids, really.
Oh my goodness gracious. Mm-hmm. So you said that you were asking for help with getting your paper organized, mm-hmm. and that you were looking for getting your paper organized. Were you already an organized person and you only needed paper organization? Like, how did this all get started?
I was extremely organized, and even to the point of that, I had been a minimalist for 5 years prior to finding Organize 365, and I had been decluttering a lot and organizing a lot, and our 3-bedroom apartment, it was beautiful, but our home office, it was always a mess. And my husband and I, we shared a home office back then, and it was one paper mess, and you know, simply the kind of room that you would close the door on when you have guests coming in.
Yeah.
And everything else was fine except for that.
Okay, so you needed to solve your paper. You found about the Sunday basket. What did you do first, and how did you get started tackling all that?
Okay, I bought the Sunday basket first and the 100-day program. Sort of, you know, test the waters before I dive in completely. And about 2 months in, I realized I need the whole paper solution version, and went all access, which is now the Productive Home Solution. And what was the second part of the question?
So how did you so your house is minimalist, it's organized, whatever, you just have this office. So how did you tackle the office, and how did Organize 365 help you get your papers organized?
So the Sunday basket helped me with my private paper. The problem about a home office, like my husband and I, we're both teachers. Yes. And we work from home. In Germany, teachers work from home, and we teach 2 subjects. And we teach, 7 grades, something like that?
Yes. So this is the part you've got to explain, because I interviewed, her name, from France. And so now I'm all about learning all these different international cultures. So even before the pandemic, you're teaching from home. So you have to explain the education system in Germany. Explain that first, and then we'll get back to the paper.
So we have elementary school, like everyone else. And then we have continuing school. And our continuing school goes from grade 5 to 13. Mm-hmm. And then you're ready to go to university. So you kind of have a college degree somewhere going in there as well. Mm-hmm. And we teach at least 2 subjects. I think we're the only country worldwide who requires that. I'm not sure, but it's kind of a very special thing going on, and leads to a lot of frustration with international teachers who are excellent in their subject and then need to find a second subject in order to be able to teach here in Germany. And My husband teaches even three subjects. I teach two. Then together we teach 18 grades, like all grade five, like spending 9 years of grades, and then times five subjects. And we have everything at home. We don't get to have a classroom at school. We're lucky if we have a locker or even a place in the teacher's lounge, which is not like a really nice place to work if you need quiet. And so we have everything at home, like our whole classroom for a subject needs to be at home. And we are the ones who are switching classrooms. So there's pupils, they get to stay in their groups in their classroom. And we are the one who switch classrooms for classes. And that means that we have to carry a lot. Teachers typically have backpacks in Germany, because, I mean, that's the only way you can sort of handle that much weight at once. Yeah. And we need to organize, or we need to be super organized, because everything that we need during the whole next day, we need to pack in those backpacks, and whatever is not there and whatever that we need, we can't use, you know. So thanks to the internet now, like nowadays, we can, you know, put a lot of online. But other than that, I mean, it's really hard to organize everything. And of course, because the job is never done. And yes, that seems to be the case for every teacher worldwide. I mean, I've heard about Angela Watson's podcast, and it's so hard, like for teachers there. The job is never done, and you kind of always leave in a rush. So you work until last minute and leave in a rush to school. Then I come back from work, go back to my home office desk, and then leave in a rush to pick up the kids from daycare. So it's kind of always, you know, it's prone for chaos. And then you have your private paper in somewhere in the middle of it as well, and the work-related paper, all the administrational forms, yes, and tasks and whatever. And it's one huge mess. And I kept saying to my husband, there must be a solution to that. I mean, it can't be that for the rest of my working life I have to live with that, with such a cluttered home office. And I mean, the office supplies are not the problem. I mean, as you can see, I have those down. Office supplies are okay. I mean, there are many possibilities to organize them, but the paper, I need a solution to that. And and I was so frustrated that he even talked to his colleagues about that. And he said, well, they all say that their desk all look the same. It's just part of the job. I mean, you know, it has been that way forever. And like that's not a solution that I'm satisfied with, or not an answer that satisfies me, because just saying it is that way because it has been that way always before, I mean, that's, no, I wasn't happy with that. So I kept looking, and I was so excited when I heard about the Sunday basket, you know, solving the private paper. And my problem, as soon as I started my job, and not so much during my study years, but as soon as I started my jobs, I had such a difficult time separating work and private, because it was all mumble jumbled in one. I had my private email, on my WhatsApp, there are business, business,
right,
colleague contacts, and my school would contact me on my private mobile. And, you know, everything is kind of basically like entrepreneurs would work, you know, from, yes, their private home office as well.
Yes.
And they would have like a huge difficulty in basically compartmentalizing,
right,
all those different aspects. And that happened as soon as I got the Sunday basket, all of that sort of clicked into place. And I would sort of, all of a sudden, even my email, my private email, I mean, I don't like getting work-related emails on my private email, but I'm okay with it now because I have it even just mentally compartmentalized, mm-hmm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And because I know, okay, Friday afternoon, that's my work-related day, and Sundays, that's my private related day. Even that, having those days separated, mm-hmm, that, I mean, it brings so much relief. It's so hard to put it. And I do have like a couple of boxes. I'm for education, I would argue that you would need at least two boxes. I have them even, you know, labeled. Can you see them?
Yeah.
with those, you know, adhesive labels that you recommend.
Yeah.
So I have one for planning and I have one for administration to keep that separate. And even that is separate. And that all of a sudden, you know, it clicks into place. Oh, that is all of that is administration. That's why I kind of get confused with the planning part. And that's why I'm getting confused with, because I have to hand in those somewhere else. Like it's all like it's more visual all of a sudden, you know?
Well, and none of it is teaching. None of it is exactly. The actual job of teaching.
No, none of it is teaching. Teaching is like the very last part of it. It's like, oh, by the way, I should teach that. Now I should teach that after all. I mean, that's kind of the end of the process.
I think also when you talk about the Friday workbox time on Friday and the Sunday basket time on Sunday, so personal Sunday work, like cleaning up your work, I think the box not only helps compartmentalize, but it also gives like a weekly time and then a time frame. So like, okay, it's Sunday. Yeah. I didn't get it all done, but I'll get to it next Sunday versus when there's no, like, it's going to be Sunday or it's going to be Friday. You're like, well, I'll get to it, but you never know when you're going to get to it. So then you look at it every day to make sure you're going to get to it. And it may be 3 months, but you've looked at every day for 3 months. Exactly. Whereas if it's in the Friday, you're like, okay, can it wait till Friday? Okay. It's got to wait till Friday. And it's like, well, that's okay. It's safe in there until I can get to it. It'll be safe in that place. Okay. I have to ask though, what subjects do you teach and what subjects does your husband teach?
Oh, I teach German and English. And my husband teaches physics, biology, and physical education.
And so does he have a lot of like experiments and stuff related to his work or props? And where do you keep all that?
The experiments and props for experiments, those are at school. So he's lucky. He actually gets like a whole room dedicated to physics.
Okay.
And also like basically like a lab. So that he has at school, and biology, I think, as well. So he needs way less props than I do. I mean, I have like, look at that. I even have a British flag going on to remind my students that it's time to speak English and ditch the German.
Yes, there's so much. I'm trying to wrap my brain around not having a classroom. My first year teaching, my first 2 years teaching, I was in two separate rooms. I did preschool in the afternoon and then I did another class in the morning. And so I did have to move, but they were both, while I shared the classrooms, I still could store things in the classrooms. Mm. So when I got there, there were things that were, that I could just pull out, and I still had stuff at home, but not all of it was at home.
Now I kind of envy those kind of teachers who can store anything. I mean, not even the workbox. I mean, I can understand that you wouldn't want maybe, a workbox stored in a shared classroom because of sensitive data. But, you know, just not having to carry all my books. I mean, as a teacher of literature, I have a lot of books and it's like today I only taught one class or like 90 minutes. And I have a really heavy backpack because of that, because I need my laptop. I need everything that I need to get the laptop going. And then and several books and everything. It's just so... I don't know. I think back pain is one of the most common problems for teachers in Germany.
I'm thinking like rolling suitcase. I'd be like bringing a rolling suitcase everywhere. Like, hey.
I've seen that. I've definitely seen that before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Okay. So you got the Sunday basket going. You got the work boxes going. What else helped you organize your paper? Was there more paper?
Well, there's always more paper.
That's what I say anyway. I say that, yes.
I have a lot of binders, and in Germany, typically we use binders and not filing cabinets, at least as far as I know.
You're ahead of the game.
Yeah, I wouldn't say so, because binders... Yeah, we need decluttering, because I have way too many binders. Those are all, you can't really even see that. Okay. I mean, that's, so we have binders like top to bottom and you can clutter up a binder just as you can clutter a filing cabinet. And the bad thing about a binder is you have like dedicated space, but if it's not full, it looks full and it takes up that space, even though it's not full yet. So I don't know. It's paper. In the end, it's paper. Whether you store it vertically or horizontally, you need to go through it and you need to be very intentional about how to organize it, where to store it and how to store it. And whether it's allowed to stay in your home and continue to basically clutter up your life. And what I found with purging private paper versus work-related paper, private paper has sometimes a lot of guilt.
Okay.
When looking into it, like all the friendships that I should have been, following up, or I even have still have thank you cards for our wedding, and we got married 7 years ago, and I never sent the thank you cards out. So I'm wondering whether I should just declutter them or still send them out.
I'm giving you the okay to declutter them.
Oh, it's so embarrassing, and I kind of am. And yeah, I mean, so there's kind of like guilt, embarrassment, and with work-related paper, there's a lot of shame. Like at least for me as a teacher, like there are a lot of lesson units that I wanted to teach, that I intended to teach, units or programs, ideas that I started, that I got my students to start it on, but I didn't complete or I didn't wrap them up completely, something like that. You know, all that kind of paper that is telling me you're not a good enough teacher, you didn't finish that, you didn't do that to the end. It's like, it's a complete different back talk going on there from that kind of paper. And like, I haven't met a teacher yet to this very day who doubts his own capabilities in his profession. And I think it's because of that, because we keep way too much reminders, myself included, about things that we haven't, been able to complete. I mean, I still have administrative forms that I should have handed in 3 years ago. I mean, they will find me when they need them, and one day I shall return them too. I mean, I'm slowly getting at it. They will find me, but it's talking back to us. It's too much, and it's talking back to us. And like, especially as a teacher, you have like way more paper coming in than you possibly can process.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you just, it's the to-do list that never goes away.
Yeah.
Because it's a reminder. Like sometimes if you lose a to-do list, then, oh, well, it didn't get done, whatever. But this paper is like reminding you there was a to-do there and it didn't get done. And it needs to get done someday.
And even when you keep like lesson plans from colleagues, which are awesome, and they remind you that your colleague is awesome, not that you are awesome, because you kept that lesson plan and that material, but you didn't get to implement it or didn't get to use it. And they have all this great stuff going on and you don't. And it's kind of like you have this constant comparison going on, even on paper form. I mean, you have it going on anyway, but when you have it, you know, black and white printed in front of you, it kind of keeps screaming at you or telling you something. And it's not a good thing necessarily. And I think that, I don't know, I don't really know what I think. I'm still in the process of purging my work-related paper, and I'm not even that long in the game, really.
Were you able to get rid of a lot of that? And just like, if you ever need that lesson again, just go to that colleague again?
Yeah, and no, I was able to organize it differently. I was definitely able to let go of a lot of it, but I was able to at it. Yeah, I was able, like, the way I would look at it now is more like an organized entity or an organized capsule. It's more
like
of a
reference.
A reference, and also like a time capsule when I won't need in 5 years, or in case I find work-related, I'm still not at it, Lisa, to be honest. I'm still working on it. It's such a tough process, and it's such a huge undertaking, and it's quite overwhelming and frightening, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's a frightening component to it.
It's almost like you need to do it in a group with people, but not with all the people, only with the people who are like ready to give you grace and be like, yeah, okay, I don't have it figured out either. Let's do it together. Versus like, no, I got it all figured out. Do it my way.
Yeah, totally. We need a self-help group.
We need to find the other German teachers inside of the Organize 365 app. You guys all form a whole group. Okay. So when was the first time that you found that your papers were organized, that they weren't organized before? You're like, okay, this is going to work.
So So that was tax season. And the tax time before my husband and our accountant, they handed in our taxes literally 5 minutes before they were due. And that was extremely stressful, especially since it was 5 minutes before midnight, like in the middle of the night. And the whole family was up, even though he said, go back to sleep. No one was sleeping because, like, you know, children sense when parents are stressed out. Yeah. And no one was asleep. And I kind of vowed to myself to never let that happen again. I'm way too old for that kind of stress. I mean, it's okay when I'm 21 handing in a paper on college and it's 5 minutes before due time. I mean, that's okay. Yeah. But with kids and everything and a job going on, who has the time for that? So I decided on creating a checklist. And because I had a little baby, like my little one was, I think, 3 months old when I started working on that. So I started working on a checklist and I had that living in my Sunday basket. And when I Googled checklists for taxes in English, a lot of them keep coming up, but for some reason, not a lot of them keep coming up in German. So I had to kind of make it up for myself and apply it to us. And then once I had it more or less going, I would start doing our taxes, you know, step by step. And whenever I would have the time, I would have that green slash pocket living in my Sunday basket. And when the baby went to sleep, I would just pull it out. 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there. And step by step, I was done with our taxes after 3 weeks, something like that. And which is not my style at all. I'm the kind of person who would like to have like a whole project mm-hmm. weekend, like yes. 10 hours just on one thing. But that is not possible with two little toddlers, you know, or a baby and a toddler. That is impossible. And I kept trying to wrap my head around how I could make time to get anything done in my household. And that was a Sunday basket, really. That is, you know, do you have time? Do you have 10 minutes here and there? Oh, yeah, great. Let's go look at my Sunday basket. What's in there and get something done. And that is the only way I got anything done. Now that they're in daycare, thank God. I mean, at least I have like 2 hour blocks of something, but
before it that, is so hard for project people who have little kids. It's like, to figure out how to do a big project in a small amounts of time. It's really hard. Yeah. It's really hard if you're a big picture thinker. Yeah. It's doable for a season, but you're not going to want to go back to that voluntarily.
Yeah. And I want it done. Like, I don't want to think about it for 3 weeks. Yes. I want, you know, I just want it over with. And, yes. But that doesn't happen anymore.
No, it will again. It will in the future.
So yeah, so I've heard.
What else has happened on this journey of getting organized that you didn't expect to happen?
That was the mindset shift that you keep talking about. And in a Friday Life, you said that it's kind of hard taking before and after pictures because... Yes. What we actually have is that mindset shift. And that is exactly what happened. I mean, and that is the reason why I found it so hard to apply for the podcast, because I kept looking for before and after pictures. And yes. I don't know, with little kids, it's like the after kind of always looks like the before, like after 2 minutes into it. So so basically what happened is that I thought about my stuff differently. And that my stuff doesn't talk back to me anymore, or not that much anymore. And basically, it's because I know about the rhythm of things. Mm. Like you already talked about the weekly rhythm because of the Sunday basket and workbox, but they also have a monthly rhythm to it in deep diving into the slash pockets. Yes. And then there is that 3 or 4 month rhythm of the 100-day program.
Yep.
Then we have the yearly rhythm of the whole thing. And you keep talking about, for example, our photo organizing energy in February,
yes. or,
which with me is paper organizing energy. And yeah. I was never really aware of that. It just happened to me. You right. know, Now that I know about it, I can intentionally plan with it and work with it, you know. Yes. It's like completely different direction other than just something happening to me. And I know, even though it might not be possible for me to do a scrapbook this year, maybe next year, maybe, I mean, God willing, there will always be a next February coming, you know. Yes. And it's okay for me. And also, because you talk about the phases in life, I know, okay, I'm in accumulation phase, obviously. And with those little kids, I'm also in this, you have that saying that
you should sleep.
Yeah, that definitely.
You should take a nap.
Yeah, but life with littles.
You have to do it for them, and then you do it with them.
That too. And 0 to 5 is like shoveling snow in a snowstorm.
Yes. Yeah. Pointless.
Totally.
Totally. Like just whatever. Unless your mother-in-law is coming over, just you're good. Like, you're fine.
And that's exactly what, you know, I feel like I am in the memory producing phase of my life, not necessarily in the memory processing phase of my life.
And I love that.
You know, and now that I know that I kind of, I mean, I sort of always subtly knew that, but being really aware of that, and, you know, I can plan with it. I can say, okay, maybe in 5 years, maybe I can organize photos together with my little kids. Who knows? Yeah. Something like that. Maybe it works before that. I mean, that's a bonus brownie point for everyone. But if not, that's okay. That's normal. And it kind of relieves the stress on me to get everything done now, because I'm the type of person who wants everything done now. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like have done all this to say that how I parented was okay. Like, you know, you're always like trying to say, because we try to do everything that we want to do in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, all at the same time. Like, like I'm just entering the vacationing portion of my life. Like we've gone on a vacation every year because Greg's family lives in Florida, which is great. It's great. Mm. We've gotten to go to the beach, but we haven't really traveled, you know, like I want to travel. I'm like, okay, good. That's this next decade is the traveling decade. Like I'm being able to say, but it's not also going to be, you know, building a house decade or anything. We're going to stay in the house that we're in now. And you don't do it all at one time. So that, you're very good at articulating what a lot of people are probably thinking.
Yeah. But I need time for that. And, honestly, you know, when I listened to your podcast and I kept, you know, walking around my baby in a stroller around and listening to the podcast, I kept talking back to you and kind of, you know, thinking exactly those thoughts, because I need someone to discuss that with. And I really need to be able to, as you say, to articulate it in order to let it go. It's like a genie in a bottle. If you have the genie flying around the whole time, by the time I name it, you know, by the moment I can name it, I have it captured into the bottle, and that's it. And then I close it and, you know, into the bookshelf, and that's it. So I kind of need to be able to name things in order to let go of them eventually.
I think that's a lot of what we've done here in Organize 365. Like part of our vision is to articulate what is happening inside of homes, specifically for women, because I'm a woman, like I cannot have a male experience, but I'm learning more about that as I explore more. But I understand what it was like to be a stay-at-home mom, what it was like to try to start a business from my bedroom, like all of those things that are very hidden. Like people do not see what happens inside of your house. And specifically for my friends and where I grew up, there were a lot of us that were trying to figure all this out on our own. And it is the being able to talk back and forth about it. And you know, just being able to understand that housework is all these different kinds of work. And now the next thing we're coming out with organization is all these different kinds of organization. And when you can name it, then you can container it and you can make a plan and you can attack and be like, okay, so about the time this podcast comes out, the new podcast will be coming out about how we have defined organization now, that there are these four different kinds of organization, and you never feel organized until all of them are organized. But we want you to be able to say, my personal spaces are organized, my family spaces are organized, my storage spaces are organized, my paper spaces are organized, and start to declare yourself organized in different categories. And then overall, I'm organized. Because I think so often we don't declare ourselves as organized people. even though 84% of Americans believe organization is a learnable skill, because there's always a little bit more we can do. Mm-hmm. So how do you declare yourself organized if, like, oh yeah, but that one closet isn't done? Even if you're 99% mm-hmm. organized, you won't say you're an organized person, because you in your mind immediately think of the thing that mm-hmm. isn't organized yet. And so just getting that language, like, you wouldn't say that, would say if someone were to ask, do you know German? And you'd be like, or, you know, are you bilingual? You'd be like, well, I'm bilingual, but am I fluent? Like, what level am I at? Where you'd be like, yeah, I can, you know, you would say what level you're at. You would say, well, I can travel and, you know, I can order from mm-hmm. a restaurant and I could travel on my own. Or, yeah, I've had 4 years of this and I could do this level. Or no, I'm fluent and I can teach somebody how to learn another language. But we don't have that kind of language to talk about where we are in our housework or where we are in our organizing, these levels that we are kind of working and learning to achieve the skill of organizing. You and I are both writing down notes as we're talking back and forth. We're such paper people. We're such teachers. Oh,
yeah, we need to know. Yeah, we are.
I have all my little notes that I've been writing down since you've been talking to. I'm like, oh, that's really good. I haven't learned. But I think that's it. I think that we need this. It's this language. That's why we have like 11 podcasts now. They're just the glossary of Organize 365, because you've already mentioned you're in the accumulation phase. There are these phases of life. There are these different cycles in the home, and they aren't really, they haven't been articulated so that many, many people can have that conversation.
And just having that vocabulary actually gives me grace, because I am, you know, I self-identified as a minimalist, but when I look around, I mean, nothing is minimalist yet, because, like, how can I be a minimalist if stuff keeps coming in and rolling in, you know, all the time? And when Lisa said, oh, you're in an accumulation phase, I realized, oh, wow, true. I mean, that's exactly what's happening around us. You know, we're accumulating stuff. That doesn't mean that we will keep it forever. I should hope so, at least. But definitely that is the phase that we are in. And that vocabulary, it gives us a lot of abilities even to communicate with our partners and to say where we are. And it's kind of, it's validating where we are as women in our household, because it's a lot of work that no one sees and no one validates. And like, that's why I really love those podcasts on the four kinds of housework or house related tasks, because that was such an aha moment when I realized, oh wow, that is so true. And we have a lot of it. I have, like, some is what my husband is doing, some is what I'm doing, but basically the woman has a lot of it. And being able or enabling a woman to talk about those things is like taking the mental load off of her.
Yes,
because all of a sudden she's speaking a language and communicating in a way that opens such a broader horizon, you know?
Yes.
And that's, I really like that. It's awesome.
And don't you think, because I think minimalism is great, but don't you, like, I would venture to say you're not a minimalist in your education supplies.
No, definitely not.
So here's my whole point. And this is way back. Maybe you never heard this podcast. It's like from like the very beginning about passion projects. Like you can be a maximalist in your passion projects, which for you is teaching. And a minimalist in like your cooking supplies, because you can get that takeout. Like I'm not going to cook. There are a lot of things I'm a minimalist, but I am a maximalist when it comes to like the amount of puzzles I have, the crafting that I do for photo albums and for anything video or like tech related, because I love to do all that kind of stuff. But I was able to get rid of a lot of cooking stuff. I was able to get rid of, I'm a maximalist in books. I have so many books. I have both Audible, Kindle and physical books, so many books. But I don't have a lot of DVDs anymore or CDs or like, you know, like, so instead of saying I'm a minimalist or I'm not a minimalist, it's like, okay, these are my passion projects. And in these areas, I will have all of the things related to that. And then in these areas, they're not a passion. So I don't need to have all the collections related to everything.
You know what I think is a better word for everything, like for minimalism as well, is more like talking about it as intentionalism. Because we're all of a sudden, we're being intentional with, as you say, with our passion projects. We identify them as a passion project and allow that part to be like, to accumulate. And that's okay. And to have peace with that. And other parts in our life, we are intentionally minimalist, or we we intentionally declutter, or declutter or the place where we declutter to sometimes even is intentional as well. So I think that is, and basically the way I understand minimalism is exactly that way. Like it is basically the saying the intention is what counts. Is that item fulfilling its intention, or are you being intentional with it or not? And if it doesn't fulfill a purpose, or if it's if it doesn't seem to have a purpose, but you are being intentional with it and you are being fine with it, then it obviously is fine. In like, just keep it. You don't have to.
I like that. And then I also, because I have perfectionistic tendencies, I have to regularly give them up. So when you're saying that, the only trigger that I think of is, like, for me, the definition of minimalism, like there is an aesthetic that I'm going to, because there's such an aesthetic related to minimalism. And then also, if I'm intentional with what I'm keeping, then it makes all of a sudden I look and I evaluate every single thing. I'm like, oh, well, that has to go, that has to go. And then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, but I'm really not, like, it makes me declutter a little bit more than I want to, just because I want to have everything be intentional. And it's a lot of mental to figure out, like, well, is that really intentional or not? So for me, I could be really minimal in a lot of areas. And my closet is now like almost totally, like there's like three pieces in there I don't wear. Like everything in there is very intentional. Mm. And it's not a, you know, a very minimal closet, but it's not huge either. Like it's very purposeful. Everything in there gets worn, very purposeful. But like when it comes to scrapbooking, I know I have stuff in there I'm never going to use, but I don't want to get rid of it yet. So like in that way, it's like in my passion project area, I don't want to know, I don't want to have to judge whether or not I truly am going to need it or not. In case I do, I want to have the freedom to just have as much of that as I want without worrying about it, because that's one of my passion project areas.
But then you're intentionally giving yourself grace.
Fine. Great. I agree with you. Okay, great. Intentionally giving grace. I've never heard that before. Intentional seems so thoughtful and like there's a standard, whereas grace is like, oh, okay. Like as soon as you said grace, I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine then. Yeah. Like, oh, okay, yeah. Then you're allowed.
Just you have identified scrapbooking as your passion project already, so that's okay. So you're being you're being analytical about it,
and I am that
vocal
way.
About it. It's like in my eyes, it's better than just letting things happen and letting things accumulate and kind of, you know, not really not knowing what to do and where to go with it. And you like everything. And when you like everything, you like nothing really, because everything has like priority number one, and that's not possible. So you're kind of being very, maybe intentional is a bit of a harsh word for purposeful,
proactive.
Probably.
Yeah. As soon as you said that, I thought, okay, well, I'm not a reactive person. So yeah, I'm more productive, purposeful.
Proactive,
Words are so powerful. Like they evoke so many thoughts and emotions, and like, it's so funny. And the same word for two different people can evoke a totally different meaning and feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I love language. That's why I teach.
I know. That's why I'm like, I could totally go down this rabbit trail with you, because you're going to be like, oh yeah. And the root of that is, and I'll be like, you lost me. Okay. So did you experience any unexpected events during your organizational journey? Like you didn't expect this to happen, but wow, this thing kind of happened.
Okay. So basically we moved this spring into a house from our three bedroom apartment into a huge, humongous house. And it's so old and so huge. Nobody has an idea just how big it is. So we don't even know the square footage of this place. And, but we said we needed a garden, and Germany had so many lockdown phases last year, and obviously like the whole world did. And so we decided to move rather quickly, and the move itself was rather organized. But after that, we weren't really like, it kind of hit us that they took the kitchen with them, the renters before us. So we didn't have a kitchen, and we had to get a kitchen. My husband.
Wait, what do you mean you didn't have a kitchen?
Like the furniture and the supplies that you, not the supplies, the furniture, like the
oven and the refrigerator and the counters.
Yeah. Everything. Like the kitchen was empty.
Okay then. And also for all of the Americans, I have a friend who is British. So she's always talking about her garden and taking her dog in the garden. I'm like, God, where are these yards? It's a yard. That's what they call a yard. A garden is an American yard.
A park?
We call our backyard, our front yard, like the grass around our house, we call it a yard. But in Europe, you guys call it a garden. Yeah. In America, a garden has flowers or vegetables in it, not grass.
We don't have really flowers. We have one rose, though, I suppose. Yeah. Yes. No, it's a yard then.
Yes, the garden. But I love it. Tara's always like, so I took the dog out in the garden, and I'm like, you know, picturing like the dog frolicking in an American garden. Just a little, you know, we're international here. We gotta, that's American English versus British English.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely the case. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, you're saying you had no kitchen.
We had no kitchen. I mean that the room was empty. There were tiles on the floor and there were windows in, and that's it.
Oh my gosh.
And my husband had to we kind of knew like 1 week before we were supposed to move in. That's when we were informed that there wasn't a kitchen, and we got a used kitchen. That's not a problem. But the problem is time. And it's like my husband spent a whole, like his complete summer holidays on getting the kitchen into, working it in. He has to install everything by himself. He has just that, you know, expectancy towards himself. So he did that. And then the first floor carpet turned out to be so bad that we had to rip it out. And we had to camp on the floor with our mattresses. So all the while we had like, on the first floor, there was nothing going on there except for our mattresses on the floor. And in the kitchen, my husband was working, and all the time we were living as a whole family in here already. I was washing the dishes in a baby tub in the shower. And we were living out of a luggage. Oh, we had been on a holiday. We came back from a holiday 5 days or 3 days before we moved, and which was okay. I mean, our move was organized. Hey, I have all access, right? I had that printable 10 steps organized. Yeah, of course. And I used that, and it was wonderful. Worked like a charm. But it was afterwards that everything came, and we lived out of our luggage. And our eldest, she has like, I already created a wicker basket wardrobe for her. Mm-hmm. So she has 6 wicker baskets, and that is when I simply would dump all her clothing in according to categories, like very broad categories. And like, she had the most organized wardrobe of every one of us, because she had her wicker baskets, you know, laid out on the floor in front of her, and everyone else was living out of their luggage, which was okay. I mean, doing packing before a move as though you were going on a holiday is awesome, because I accidentally had everything that I needed for all the medicine, all the kind of the kid related supplies and gadgets and books and whatever toys you need. I mean, okay, they were meant to be to work only for a 2 week time frame, but they totally took us over the whole summer. So that totally worked wonderfully. And the problem was when, as soon as the weather changed and we were going into fall, and all of our summer clothes wouldn't work anymore. And I went to my husband, look, we have to put up wardrobes. We don't have walk-in closets, right? So we have to, when I'm talking about wardrobe, I'm always mean that like the wooden furniture thing.
Yeah, IKEA.
IKEA, yeah.
Yeah.
And... or C.S. Lewis wardrobe. Yeah, you know.
Exactly.
So and then I wondered, you know, what do? I can't use like the first floor. Like my husband is still installing the flooring. We can't put up any wardrobes. We can't use them upstairs. And what do I do now? And that's when I remembered a podcast episode about a mom that you gave, about a minimalist mom who had like those 24-hour clothes, and her kids' clothes were in the bathroom.
Yes. It's my mom, one of my mom's good friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I did eventually. I wondered, you know, where could I store the clothes? And I put an IKEA shelving into a laundry room. So that was the only place where there was... place. And it's a bookshelf, mind you, it's like an IKEA bookshelf, like very open, everything. And everyone got a cube, 6 cubes And three of those cubes fit next to each other, and basically like the wicker basket wardrobe of my daughter, you know, that's the same system. I just made a cube wardrobe for everyone and put them in there in those IKEA shelving, and it worked like a charm. And I have it, like, our wardrobe now for everyone is next to the dryer. And the washing machine obviously is in there. And then our bathroom is right next to it as well. So we have the hamper in there. And like the whole cycle, the life cycle of laundry.
Yes.
It begins and ends right within, I don't know, 160 square feet is what I figured out. It must be something like that.
It's great.
Like it's a tiny space, and I can make work of it, and I can like pull things out of the dryer right into our cubes and into our wardrobe cubes. Yes. Obviously, I don't fold anything anymore. And
I love it.
No one
cares. You're saving yourself so much time.
Yeah. Yeah. Laundry is done like in 10 minutes. Like I just dump it in there and that's it. Or, you know, when I'm in there doing something, changing the clothes, the laundry, I work, or going to the bathroom, I figure out, okay, is that something that needs to go into the hamper? Because for some reason, no one really knows how to use a hamper over here. But I don't know. I mean, it's very obvious.
It's universal. No one does in any country.
Yeah.
It's not Germans. But that was Sarah. That was my mom's friend, Sarah.
Yeah.
And she was a minimalist. I mean, I had never met a minimalist before this. This was like 25, 30 years ago. And she would put her kids, they would take their baths, and they put these like work desk pajamas or clothes, cotton, you know, top and bottom, shorts, t-shirts, depending on what the weather was. They go to bed in these clothes. They get up, they'd have breakfast. They do their whole life. And then they would change out their clothes at night. And then she did. It was in the laundry room. She had dressers in there. The IKEA cube thing works too. Until your kids are like 10, like, yeah, nothing probably needs to be folded. You just throw it. Yeah. It totally, totally worked.
And even for my clothes,
so it's easy.
Working. I mean, I don't.
Parent. Yeah.
Totally. It's yeah. So easy.
Yeah. I love it. So much. Oh my gosh. All right. But what do you think?
It's such an ugly space. Like it looks awful, but it works wonderfully. And that is what, like, I turned to my husband. It's so functional.
Yeah. Right. Not a good after picture.
No,
not a good after picture. You've saved probably 100 hours this year just on laundry, but it doesn't look good, but it totally is saving you so much time. So that, like you said, the Organize 365 thing, our after does not look like it should be in a magazine. Mm-hmm. Our after is like what you have more of. So what is your after look like? Like, what do you have more of now that your paper's organized and you've moved and you have all this? What does your after look like?
Oh, let me check my notes on that. What do I have more of? Oh, I have more chaos.
Okay. You're the first person to say you have more chaos. I don't know if I should be airing this. Explain with more words, please.
Yeah. I wrote down probably a first. With chaos, I don't mean chaos in my life. I mean untidy rooms. So there's toys on our living room floor right now. Our kitchen is not done, but I have my work completed for tomorrow by, I don't know, when was I done? By 2 o'clock this afternoon. And now it's 5 o'clock or something. And I mean, I have more stuff that is not in exactly its place. It is in its space, and I'm okay with that by now. Like I used to want to have everything in its place, and I still do. Like in a perfect world, I still would love that. And I add little picture labels to every places in my life because I find that having like what I call a Montessori household, in that I help everyone else to help themselves. AKA mommy is not a tourist information. Yeah, because I'm not the one to tell you where to go. Go for yourself and see for yourself. So I have more untidy spaces or places, but I could tidy them up in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but it's not a priority anymore. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So I have more time elsewhere, and I have more peace in allowing it to be the way it is and to accepting it as this phase of my life, you know?
Yeah.
even though that's hard for a perfectionist and for someone who loves tidy spaces, but it's okay, you know. It's so I have more time with my kids like that, and I'm more intentional with my time with them as well.
What do you like to do with your kids?
I read a lot.
I knew you were going to say read. I was like, I bet it's going to be books. I'm just going to guess. It's probably going to be books.
But that's because the eldest loves, she just loves to read and loves books and to be read to. And we craft a lot. And I can totally see her scrapbooking with me one day. I can actually see her, you know, producing memories while we process memories, you know.
Yeah.
Like I would love to have her little hand in one of my photo albums or something like that, you know, or have her draw her little head people into one of those albums, because it's so cute. And I just would like to conserve those memories as well.
And what do you think you have less of?
I have less. Let me see. Let me take. Where did I put my notes? Did you see? I have everything on index cards.
Such a good student.
Yeah, yeah. No, I prepared as though this was an oral exam, so I could be more fluent in my English. Hopefully.
You're such a good student.
True. Totally obliger, huh? You can hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I worry less because of the rhythms that we talked about, because I simply know that it's going to happen. So our living room and our dining room, they were a mess. And until late November, we still had moving boxes in there and they were still chaotic. But I didn't worry because I knew Christmas was around the corner, and I would have never had that kind of view on my time without your teaching me that, you know. And so I knew, Christmas will be here. So what are we doing Christmas? Well, obviously we're home at Christmas. We'll have a holiday on Christmas and we'll have to decorate. And in order to be able to decorate, we will probably, most probably get to these rooms. And what happened by early December, they were clear, they were decorated, they were beautiful. And I mean, and still are to this day. I mean, partially.
It's so hard to say, because it takes a long time to get organized in a new house, especially if you have to build the kitchen, obviously.
Yeah.
But to be able to say, okay, here's everything that's here, and then here's where these are going to plug in these seasons, and then they will get done.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So what's your next step now? What's the next thing you're up to?
So I will definitely work more on my teacher workbox. I haven't that one down yet. And I developed actually a 2.0 planning sheet for myself, and I shared that in the app, because I have like, I found that I need you keep saying pink leads to purple, leads to blue, leads to green. And yes. I was wondering, you know, with my administrative education workbox, I somehow couldn't wrap my head around it. And I wanted to a planning version. I was like, oh, okay, actually, I just need, you know, something that pink are my ideas, how to plan the unit, and purple is what I need to consider in order to make that unit. Blue is my administration, and green is basically the outcome. How do I want them to, not to test, but how do I want to see that they have down what they're supposed to? Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that's, and it's kind of like a funnel, and you just keep putting it through the funnel and through the funnel. Oh, that's cool.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
We're redoing the education workbox right now. Mm-hmm. We had the first mastermind meeting. By the time this comes out, we will have had the second one. We're doing like a focus group. And we realized, like you already said, you have a planning workbox and an administrative workbox. That's where we realized that teachers know how to teach. Like we don't have to do anything lesson plan related. It's the administration. And we actually are going to break that pink leads to purple, leads to blue, leads to green. And we're pulling all colors of the slash buckets and giving every color a category and then moving them through that way. That's where we are in the process of it anyway. So it'd be really cool when it's done. Can't wait to share.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see it.
So anything you haven't shared or advice you would want to leave at the end of this podcast, if somebody's like, oh, okay, I think I get it now. The way that you explained it is different than how Lisa explained it. I understand what we're doing now. What would you tell them?
basically, what I would think or say is that your systems and your programs. I mean, the Productive Home Solution, it's a lot. It's a lot to begin with. And it's very hard to know where should I begin and where should I start out. And I think all of your programs, they tie together like a puzzle. I mean, there's a reason why you love puzzles. And obviously your programs are a puzzle. So I would say, just like in a puzzle, you know, pick a color or pick a program that you need right now and that you think is most imminent for you, and go work with that, go with the flow, and it will all come together in the end.
Mm-hmm. I love how you related it to a jigsaw puzzle. So great. So great. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Lisa, for having me.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.